بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم، ما بعد. باب ستر عورات المسلمين والنهي عن إشاعتها لغير ضرورة. قال الله تعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. إن الذين يحبون أن تشيع الفاحشة في الذين آمنوا لهم عذاب أليم في الدنيا والآخرة. صدق الله العظيم. Continue with the chapter, the injunction of concealing the faults of a Muslim and prohibition with regards to spreading or revealing the faults of others without necessity. As we mentioned, Imam Nawawi rahimahullah, under this particular chapter, mentions a verse of the Quran which was revealed at the time of what we refer to as the incident of Ifk, the great buhtan and slander that was leveled against Aisha radiallahu anha, the wife of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The architect of that slander was Abdullah bin Ubay bin Salul, the head of the munafiqeen. Briefly, the incident we mentioned up to the point where Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, as when she returned from the journey, Ghazwa Bani Mustaliq, she had fallen ill, so she was not aware of what was going on until she went out to relieve herself, and the mother of Mistah radiallahu ta'ala anha revealed to Aisha radiallahu anha what rumor had been spread about her. She requested permission to go to the home of her parents. When this was given and it was established to her that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was also aware of this rumor that was being spread, she was overtaken with grief, sobbing uncontrollably. It is mentioned that for a few days, almost 3 days, Aisha radiallahu anha continued crying without eating any food. And she had almost reached the brink of starvation, became severely ill. Such was the effect. On the other hand, we find that the whole of Medina was boiling with this malicious rumor. The networking of the munafiqeen was such that they spread it in every direction. Three true sahaba, Mistah bin Uthad radiallahu ta'ala anha, Abdullah bin Rawaha radiallahu anhu, and Hamna bin Jahash radiallahu anha, also inadvertently fell into this trap, and they also spread this rumor. As we mentioned previously, that the had of false accusation was leveled against them. To continue with this particular incident, we find that such was the effect on Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that he also became very greatly troubled. Obviously, this type of accusation being leveled against the family of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that it is mentioned in the riwayat that he called Usama bin Zayd radiallahu ta'ala anhu and he sought his advice. He said, "Usama, this is being said about Aisha. What advice do you give, or what is your opinion with regards to the character of Aisha radiallahu anha?" So Usama bin Zayd said that, "Ya Rasulullah," the crux of his response, "Aisha was chosen as your partner by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and I don't know anything negative about her." Then he called Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and he mentioned, sought his advice also. Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu responded that he did not know of anything negative, but if Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wished to investigate further, then he should speak to the slave girl of Aisha, Barira radiallahu ta'ala anha, because obviously you can hide any secret, but the maid servant in the house inadvertently becomes aware if there is anything wrong that is going on. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam summoned Barira radiallahu anha, and he said to her that, "Barira, I am the Nabi of Allah. Do you bring Iman upon me?" She said, "Ya Rasulullah, I definitely bring Iman that you are the Nabi of Allah." So then he asked her that, "Do you know anything negative of Aisha radiallahu anha?" Her response was that Aisha is totally innocent, but she said, "Yes, there is one weakness." And what is the weakness? That she doesn't know how to make dough properly. We find that it's mentioned in other riwayat that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's love and affection for Aisha radiallahu anha was such that he would prepare the dough and present it to her. So we find that with these two or three, this was the extent to which Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was troubled. Finally, he went into the masjid and stood on the minbar, summoned Sahaba Ikram. And we must understand that in that group that is in front of him, the architect of this slander is right in front of him, Abdullah bin Ubay bin Salul. And every one of them knew that he was behind it. And he was spreading this malicious rumor and this buhtan and slander. Yet Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, such what we are talking about, concealing the faults of others. Concealing the faults of others. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam addresses them and he says that what is wrong with you people, that amongst you they are those that have hurt me very, very greatly with regards to members of my family. The person is right in front of him, yet he doesn't say, you hurt me. Or he doesn't reveal the identity of that individual. To this extent, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam makes satari. To this extent is the tolerance of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Imagine a slander, and that too against the beloved wife of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is that personality that Allah chose to be amongst the mothers of the believers. This is that personality where Rasulullah, where it is mentioned, the riwayat Aisha says, مَاتَ فِي نَحْرِي وَسَحْرِي. That Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his last breath, as he left this world, he was leaning on the chest of Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. This is that personality, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when few moments remain in this world, he saw a miswak in the hand of Aisha radiallahu anha. He was very, very weak. But he looked at that miswak, so much love Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had for the sunnah of miswak, that he looked at that miswak with, obviously, desiring it. Aisha radiallahu anha softened it in her own mouth, and then she placed it in the mouth of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He nibbled on that miswak, and shortly thereafter he passed away. So ulama say that the last thing to enter the mouth of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the saliva of Aisha radiallahu anha. At times, if she was eating from a container, if she was drinking from a container, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would place his lips on the same spot that Aisha drank from. If she was nibbling at some food, he would nibble from the same spot that Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha had drank from. So much of love and muhabbat Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had for Aisha. It is mentioned in one riwayat that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Ya Allah, forgive me, the crux of it, that what was within my control in dealing with my wives, in other words, when it comes to being equal amongst, when you have more than one wife, what was within my control, apportioning my time, apportioning expense, this I dealt equally with all of them. But Ya Allah, what is not in my control, that is my love for Aisha supersedes the love that I have for the other wives. Ya Allah, with that was not in my control, you forgive me with regards to that. So such maqam, such status she had, and yet this malicious rumor is spreading left and right, and yet Quran is silent, there is no wahi coming. This carries on for almost a month. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam addresses sahaba, that amongst you there are those that have hurt me greatly with regards to my family. At that time Sa'd bin Mu'az radiallahu ta'ala anhu stands up and he says, Ya Rasulullah, who is it? Tell us who it is. If he is from amongst the Aus, Medina amongst the Ansar, there were two prevalent tribes, Aus and Khazraj. Abdullah bin Ubay bin Salul was from amongst the Khazraj. So Sa'd bin Mu'az, who was the leader of the Aus, he stands up and he says, Ya Rasulullah, if he's from amongst the Aus, just reveal his name to us and we will take his head off. Then Sa'd bin Ubadah stands up and he says, you are a liar. You know he is not from the Aus, because everyone knew who it was. He says, you know he is not from the Aus. This is why you are standing up and saying you are ready to take his head off. You will not harm anyone from amongst us. Then Usayd bin Hudayr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, also from the Aus, he stands up and he says that you are protecting a munafiq. You are protecting a hypocrite. One who is slandering the family of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We will take his head off. Swords were drawn. And almost a fight broke out in the masjid between the sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, sahaba of Medina, ansar of Medina. Fight almost broke out in front of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself had to step off the minbar and calm them, that what is wrong with you people, that in the presence of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this is what you are prepared to do. We find that behind this is what? Behind this is what? The poison of the tongue. The harms of ghibat, the harms of slander, the harms of tarnishing the reputation of those who are innocent. For this to become a lesson to the ummah till qiyamah, that what is the devastation that can be caused with the tongue by spreading malicious rumors, that almost the true companions of Rasulullah ﷺ almost started fighting in the masjid, drawing swords in front of Rasulullah ﷺ, for us to learn the harms of this. After this incident, Rasulullah ﷺ went to the home of Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Aisha was sobbing and crying, as I mentioned. For 3 days, she had been sobbing and crying. No food, no water, almost starving. He entered. He asked Umme Ruman, Abu Bakr, that how is the condition of Aisha, kayfa tiki? They responded that physically she was fine. Then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam turned to Aisha. We find today, nowadays, my respected brothers, we hear where, especially in the Indo-Pak subcontinent, in Asia, etc., we hear about people killing their wives, killing their daughters. What they call different, these type of murders, they give them a particular title, that to preserve our honor, or to preserve our, they call them honor killings, etc. Taking place on what? On the basis of suspicion, on the basis of rumor. There's no evidence whatsoever. And yet, person takes the life of his wife, person takes the life of his daughter. Here a rumor is spreading left and right, yet look at the tolerance of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He addresses Aisha, that Aisha, the crux of what he said, that if you have made a mistake, if you have made a mistake, then ask Allah for forgiveness. Allah is very forgiving. Not that I am accusing you, but if you have made a mistake, and if you are innocent, then be patient. Allah Ta'ala's help will come. Aisha radiallahu ta'ala says that when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said this, her tears dried up, and she turned to Rasulullah. First she turned to Abu Bakr, then answered the Nabi of Allah. In other words, defend the honor of your daughter. Abu Bakr kept silent. Then she turned to Umme Ruman, answered the Nabi of Allah. She also kept silent, her mother. Then she turned to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. She expressed the three of them. And she said that if I have to say that I am innocent, you will not believe me. She says, you people will not believe me. And if I have to say that I am guilty, then I will be tarnishing my own reputation. So all I will do, and she says that such was the extent of my grief and hurt at that time, that I forgot the name of the father of Yusuf alayhi salam. So I said, all I will do is I will say, kama qala Abu Yusuf, like the father of Yusuf, Yaqub alayhi salam. She says, I forgot the name. As the father of Yusuf said, what is mentioned in the Quran, we said, فَصَبْرٌ جَمِيلٌ وَاللَّهُ الْمُسْتَعَانُ عَلَى مَا تَصِفُونَ, that I will make sabr, I will make sabr, and Allah is the one who will help. Allah is the one who will help over whatever you people are describing. She read this verse of the Quran, and immediately thereafter, the athar and signs of wahi and revelation were seen, evident that wahi is coming upon Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, sometimes on a cold day, he would break out into beads of perspiration. Such was the effect of the weight of the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As his wahi was coming down, the face of Abu Bakr turned yellow with fear. The face of Umme Ruman turned yellow with fear, that what Quran is coming? What Quran is coming? What will be revealed? What actually occurred? Aisha radiallahu anha was totally calm. Obviously she knew of her innocence. 16, all of us say 14 verses revealing the innocence of Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha were revealed upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. These verses are in Surah Nur. Inna alladhina ja'u bil ifki usbatum minkum la tahsabuhu sharran lakum bal huwa khayrun lakum likulli imri'in minhum maktasaba min al ithm walladhi tawalla kibrahu minhu lahum linhum lahu adhabun azim. 14 verses, and ulama say, obviously, they are proficient in the nuances of the Arabic language. They say the lehja of this kalam, the anger from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that is evident in these verses. They say it is found nowhere else in the Quran. Allah speaks against Fir'aun. Allah speaks against Haman. Allah speaks against Shaddad. Allah speaks against Qarun. Allah speaks against great, great enemies in the Quran. Yet, this level of anger is not found anywhere else in the Quran as is found in this instance. That such is the harm of spreading malicious rumors. لَوْلَا إِذْ سَمِعْتُمُوهُ ظَنَّ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتِ بِأَنفُسِهِمْ خَيْرًا. Allah says, when you first heard this rumor, why didn't you think positively? Why didn't you say, هَذَا إِفْكُمْ مُبِينٌ. This is a clear-cut lie. How is it that you allowed this rumor to spread? Allah Ta'ala addresses the Sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah addresses the true believers. We find ulama say that when the reputation of Yusuf alayhi salam was tarnished, then who came forward to his defense? فَشَهِدَ شَاهِدٌ مِّنْ أَهْلِهَا إِنْ كَانَ قَمِيسُهُ قُدَّ مِنْ قُبُلٍ فَصَدَقَتْ وَهُوَ مِنَ الْكَاذِبِينَ وَإِنْ كَانَ قَمِيسُهُ قُدَّ مِنْ دُبُرٍ فَكَذَبَتْ وَهُوَ مِنَ الصَّادِقِينَ. That a little child spoke, a resident of the household of Aziz Misr spoke, شَهِدَ شَاهِدٌ مِّنْ أَهْلِهَا. That look at his kurta, if it is torn from the front, she is speaking the truth and he is lying. And if his kurta is torn from the back, he is speaking the truth and she is lying. فَلَمَّا رَآ قَمِيسَهُ قُدَّ مِنْ دُبُرٍ قَالَ إِنَّهُ مِنْ كَيْدِكُنْ. When they investigated, they found that his kurta was torn from the left. But who came forward in his defense? شَهِدَ شَاهِدٌ مِنْ أَهْلِهَا. A child from the resident or from the household of Aziz and Misr came forward when the reputation of a Nabi was tarnished. Here the reputation of a Sahabiya, the wife of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is being tarnished. Who comes forward in the defense? Allah himself. Allah comes forward directly in the defense. Such is the maqam, such is the status, such is the honor, the privilege that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala afforded Aisha Ummul Mu'mineen radiallahu anha, the wife of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that maqam and status. It is mentioned that when these verses came down, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam smilingly turned to Aisha, that Aisha, Allah ta'ala has come forward in your defense and Allah ta'ala has exonerated you. Allah has spoken of your purity. It is said at that occasion, she turned to her father, Umme Ruman, and her mother, and she said to them that when I asked you to speak on my behalf, when I asked you to bear evidence on my behalf, why did you keep silent? She was upset with her father, upset with Abu Bakr, that why didn't you tell the Nabi of Allah, speak forward in my defense? Look at the answer that Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala gives. He says, أَيُّ سَمَاءٍ تُذِلُّنِي وَأَيُّ أَرْضٍ تُقِلُّنِي إِنْ أَقُولُ مَا لَمْ أَعْلَمْ. That which sky would shadow me and which earth will bear my burden if I spoke of that which I do not know? What you are being accused of is the unseen. Allah only knows. How can I give shahadat and defense on your behalf if it is something from the unseen, something that I do not know? Such was the tolerance of Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and such was the akhlaq and character. All he did in this entire incident, 1 month, the reputation of his beloved daughter is being tarnished. The only aggression that Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu showed in this entire incident was once he passed this remark, that this type of accusation wasn't leveled against us in the days of ignorance. How is it now that we are true Muslims, such an accusation is being leveled against us? We find, my respected brothers, this, like I mentioned a few times, the wahi revelation could have come at the start. Yet 1 month Allah allowed this fire to burn in Medina. This was a very trying and a hard period upon Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah ta'ala allowed this so that the harms of the poison of the tongue become apparent, so that the ummah learns how families can be broken, how homes can be broken, how the whole of Medina became a fire burning in Medina because of this type of malicious rumor mongering and slandering. So we learn from this the importance of abstaining from such things. And Imam Nawawi rahimahullah, in this particular chapter, which deals with covering the faults of others, not spreading it, not engaging in malicious rumors, by bringing this particular verse that refers to this particular incident, we learn of the importance of this prohibition in Shariat. Allah give us tawfiq, subhanAllah.